I'm reading from Romans chapter 3 tonight, and we will begin with verse 21 through 31. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, because there is no difference, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, in order to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law or of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Beginning here in these verses, the Apostle Paul describes characteristics of our redemption. And several years ago, as we worked our way through the book of Romans, I think we spent about 3 or 4 months on this short passage. So tonight, I'd like us to just focus on this one word. And even in one evening, in the short time we have, we won't be able to plumb the depths of this word. But this word is found in verse 25, and it is the word propitiation. Our text says that God has set forth. First of all, before we think about the word propitiation, what does it mean to set forth in order to demonstrate for us? In Romans 1:13, when Paul begins to write this letter to the Christians that are in the city of Rome, he says, I had planned and I had purposed. I had an intention to come and to visit you. To set forth means to make a decision to do something in the Greek language. Намеревался, Paul says in the Russian text. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says that God purposed to do what he did for us. When we talk about the plan of God, God decided, God made a decision, and then God makes a plan, and God demonstrates his plan by what he did on Jesus Christ, by taking his wrath and pouring it out on Jesus Christ on the cross, as we just sang this song. And the reason for that is so that everybody in the world, the people that we see and the forces that we do not see. Remember when we went through Ephesians chapter 6, there is the unseen world of the spiritual world that we cannot see. There is the angelic beasts or the angelic beings in heaven that are holy angels, and then there are those that follow Satan. They're called demons and devils. And these are the unseen spiritual forces that are out there. And in front of them, God demonstrated to the world that he has purchased our redemption by pouring out his wrath upon Jesus Christ. And in the process, God's wrath was appeased, and that's a legal term that means that the price was paid for our sins. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, who has bewitched you? Who has twisted your mind? Who has changed your mind in order for you to not obey the truth of Jesus Christ, which has been clearly portrayed to you? The word portrayed is what we get the word portrait from, a picture. And Paul says, in front of you, you have the panorama, you have a picture from the Word of God of everything that God has opened up to you. And who has changed the picture in front of you so that you would not obey what you have seen. Remember a few years ago we went through the epistle of Jude. And there Jude talks about false teachers that will come into the church and try to pervert the church, to confuse the church, to introduce false teaching in the church, and to lead the church of God astray. And those people that do that, Jude writes, God has marked them. God has purposed to destroy them or to send them to the lake of fire. And these are all different terms that are all have the same meaning. They mean to portray or to demonstrate for us. And so God in verse 25 here, as we read this verse, it says, God has demonstrated, especially to us who are here tonight, those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, God has demonstrated for us, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sin. So what is this word propitiation? Remember when Jesus was crucified on the cross, Pilate wrote, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." It was written for everybody who was walking by to see what his crime was. What was the crime for which Jesus was crucified? The crime was our sins. As Isaiah 53 says. When we come to this text and we looked at this word propitiation, we have to understand that it is part of our salvation. There are many different words that demonstrate and detail for us what our salvation is. Redemption is part of our salvation. Redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. Another word that describes our salvation is our justification. God has justified us by applying the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us and putting our sin upon Jesus Christ. Another way of talking about our salvation is the forgiveness of our sins that we receive through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross. There are many different words that describe our salvation, but this word propitiation is the central part of what God has done for us. The Bible talks to us a lot about the wrath of God. Do you know what the wrath of God is? The wrath of God is many things. It includes the anger of God. It includes the fact that God needs to, and because God is holy and sinless, God has to punish sin. God told Adam and Eve, "The day that you sin, you will die." That was the wrath of God being expressed on those people in that day. The book of Revelation describes the terrible judgments of God that God will pour out upon the world during the reign of Antichrist in the last 7 years of the history of mankind after he takes his church to be with him. God's wrath, his anger, his punishment for sin is something that people do not want to talk about today very often. Very few pastors preach on the wrath of God, especially the coming judgments of God and the end time judgment when God once and for all and finally condemns men that have rejected his offer of redemption and condemns them forever to the lake of fire where they will be tormented forever in the lake of fire. That's all part of the outpouring of the wrath and the judgment of God. We as human beings, we like to talk about the love of God and the mercy of God, the grace of God, the things that God has done for us. We come today to celebrate. The bread and the wine will remind us of what Jesus Christ has done for us. These are the things that we enjoy talking and thinking about. They are the things that have liberated us from our bondage to sin. But in order for that to have happened, somebody had to carry the wrath of God upon him. Isaiah 53:6 says, God has laid upon Jesus Christ our iniquities. And the word in the Hebrew there is the same word that in the New Testament we use to pour out. For 400 years, Israel was in Egypt as slaves. And for 400 years, God, in his mercy to the people that were living in the promised land that God had promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, For 400 years, God did not judge the evils that the people did there, their idolatry and their immoral lifestyle. For 400 years, Scripture tells us that their cup of iniquity was being filled up. God was filling up all of the horrible things they were doing against God and against His holiness were being added up and written in God's book, or if you will, stored in a container, in a vessel, in a pitcher, if you will, until finally when God brings His people out of Egypt, takes them to the promised land, then He tells His people to destroy the people that live in the land of Canaan. And God's wrath upon that particular group of people was finally poured out. That was a temporary outpouring of God's wrath. But the ultimate outpouring of God's wrath upon humankind's sin was when Jesus went to the cross. It was God's plan from before the creation of the world. And God's wrath needed to be, we use the word in legal terms, appeased. Appease means to turn away. If you get up in the morning and you're going to go take a shower and you stand under the water that pours out of the faucet upon you, in the very same way, for our sins, God's wrath had to be poured out upon us. In the day you sin, you will die, not only physically but spiritually, God told Adam and Eve. And because as human beings we could not carry that weight, we would be totally destroyed and annihilated, God decided before He even created the world to substitute His sinless, beloved Son in our place and put His wrath upon Jesus Christ. Pour it all out, completely, all of it, holding back none of His wrath. And says that God, before the world, set forth, He drew a picture for all the demons, for the angelic hosts, for all of us that are here today. God set forth upon Jesus Christ, and He set Him forth, or He established that Jesus would be the substitutionary, atoning sacrifice for our sin. What does it mean to be a substitute? It means to take somebody's place. It means to bear the cost. It means to pay the price that we had to pay. It says, God made Jesus our propitiation. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant that was covered by a plate. And this plate was made out of gold. And on this golden plate were two angels, and their wings stretched from one end of this ark, which was basically a box, to the other end. And the two angels, the figures, the golden figures that sat or stood on this mercy seat that this lid was called, they covered or they overshadowed. They cast a shadow on the plate. Now, inside the box were the two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments that God, with His hand, had written and given to Moses. And mankind in Israel had broken the law. And when God looks from heaven, looking down, He saw the law, His perfect law, that man had broken. And God said, for the law to be broken, somebody has to pay a price. And so God said, temporarily, until Jesus comes, once a year, after a sacrifice, the high priest would take the blood into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, on the day that today Israel celebrates as Yom Kippur, and he would sprinkle this mercy seat with the blood of this animal. And God's wrath would be appeased for the nation of Israel, specifically for the next coming 12 months. But for humankind and for those of us that place our trust in the power of Jesus Christ. You see, the blood on that mercy seat would only cover the sins. But Scripture teaches us in 1 John that the blood of Jesus Christ actually cleanses our blood if we place our trust in Jesus Christ. And we don't have time today to discuss in further detail what this word means, but if you place your trust in the substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus did, and you stand under the cross, instead of the wrath of God being poured out upon you, You can stand under the shadow of the cross that Jesus died on. And the wrath of God falls on Jesus Christ and on his body that suffered and bled for us. And we stand under the shadow of the cross, as we just sang. A wonderful song based on this text, partially at least. And we escape the wrath of God. Now, for those people that do not escape the wrath of God, do not have a substitutionary sacrifice on their behalf, they will have to bear the full weight of the wrath of God. Scripture teaches us it is appointed unto man one day to die. And when you die, you stand before God. And you bear the full weight for your sin before God. There's only one place you end up, and that is in a lake of fire. That's the place God has prepared for Satan, not for human beings. There is a way of escape. Jesus said, I am the way into the presence of the Father, who meets us and greets us with open arms, outstretched, with mercy, with love, with grace, saying that my wrath has been poured out on my Son instead of on you. So may God bless his word for us tonight as we meditate and think about it, and as we reach out with our hand for the bread and for the wine, and realize that what Jesus did for us was a sacrifice of propitiation. Amen.